Let's take a look tonight when, as we continue our study about Jesus, who he is in our heart, and what he's done for us. What did Jesus accomplish on the cross? That's the question. Now, when I started this, the first week that we looked at week one, that Jesus was 100% God. Week two, we saw that Jesus was 100% human. And in week three, we're going to look at Jesus' crucifixion. We need to understand a little bit about crucifixion when, as we're studying this, and we need to remember the agony and the pain that we see, the most hideous of all types of ways to die. We have in our land today, especially in the state of Kentucky, the continuing controversy over the death penalty, and which is the best way to die, whether it's electrocution or by lethal injection or by the gas chamber. Well, for the one dying, none of them are voting for any of them. I guess you all do know that, don't you? But, you know, what is the most, as they say, humane way to die? Well, I want you to think about this. There's nothing humane about taking somebody else's life. Now, people have asked me over the years, because of my chaplaincy stand and with the criminal justice system, am I pro death penalty? And yes, I've always have been. When they say, yeah, but, and then they say, well, will that curtail crime? And I said, no. Well, do you mean, are you asking me if I have a criminal here that's going to death, going to die in an electric chair in the state of Kentucky, the way it was, going to die in an electric chair, will that curtail someone else from committing the same crime? And my answer is no. Now, he won't do it anymore. He won't do it anymore. Yes. Instead of people are talking about, we want to rehabilitate. Rehabilitation comes from within, not from an organization. Dealt with it too many years. But when you get to know people personally that are going on down to Eddyville, to the, as I did as a chaplain, and you're looking at them and you see a human being, and they're talking with you, and they have a family, they have, you know, children, they have, but the ones that I've ever seen in the state of Kentucky that were sentenced to die were individuals that, I mean to tell you, were the most vile that I had ever witnessed. When you're dealing with a human being that cares not, they are human, they do have family, the family talks to you, and a family's concern and all. But then I pull out the jacket, and I'm looking at the story of why they're on death row. And when I see the story and see what they did and what it takes in our system today to be convicted to die. Folks, it has to be horrible as to what an individual's done before the conviction will ever come through for the death penalty. But you're looking at it so many different ways. Then they say, well, it's not scriptural to do that. Actually, it is scriptural. Whoever sheds man's blood, then by man shall his blood be shed. Now, you're not going to use the Bible that it's against the death penalty. You can't do that. Now, what you can do, though, is you can look at where do you stop the pattern of the kind of personalities that end up committing the type of crimes that will send them to death row. For all the 30-some years, I looked. What do we do? I left the system without ever coming up with the answer of what we do. Looking at all the different family members, the personalities and all involved in it. Then I wanted to meet with the families that were left, which were the families of the victims of these guys. And I never did deal with a situation with a woman on death row, but with the men. And when I would deal then with the families, you'd see such brokenness. And then you'd look at how the crime and how violent the crime was. I had one guy that was convicted of rape. This guy, at that particular time, he was not sentenced to die, but this guy was in and out of Kentucky State Reformatory. The first dealings I ever had with this type of situation was I was standing at the gate as he had been paroled. Many of the officers are letting me know he has no business being paroled and all of this. And he stopped at the gate, looked at me, and said, "Won't be long, Chaplain Vance, I'll be back. I just want you to know that I'm going to be raping and doing everything I can to the first women and children I can find." I had the officer there stop him. I told him, you stop him, let me get the warden. Get the warden, not a thing I could do. That was when realization really hit me. And John Reese said, "Larry, until they commit the crime, they can't be charged with it." Probably 18 months, 2 years later, he was back. But he was only got caught for one of the crimes, and had come in bragging about how many they got away with, and that they could never prove. So when you get around that type of personality, it hardens those of us who have to deal with them. And when you get to a hardened point, you'll get to the point to where you say, "I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore." So my answer to it is a change in the heart of the individual. So doesn't that fall straight back as to what the cure for sin is? The cure for sin, see, the sin is our punishment as Christians. What we do wrong, that is our punishment. People say, "Well, you got to be punished for your sins." Well, Christians are miserable when they sin. You know, and that is the punishment for the sin. What Jesus did on that cross is where you and I need to look. And at that cross, you will see the most horrendous of all ways to die. The people of this generation should be thankful there's an electric chair. Those who are being, they're trying to get the firing squad back. They've now decided that the firing squad is the most humane. I keep saying, people, killing people, you're not going to find a way to do it humanely. Well, let's just, look, they've committed the crime. It's not going to be humane. Now, does that give pleasure to the victim's family? Folks, no, it doesn't. There's no emptying. There was none of the victim's families that were witnessing. Many of them would walk out. They would not stay to watch it. But people say, "Well, that will give them the release." Have you ever heard of some of them say, "Well, I want justice"? When it comes to that, they've got their loved one in their mind. And then they're sitting there having the right to be able to view as one is going to be put to death. They've got their loved one in their mind, and now they've got the electric chair. What happens to an individual when they're sitting in the electric chair? The 2,200 volt of electricity passing through your body until you are pronounced dead by the prison physician. That's the death warrant, a part of it. Here's the problem. The problem is when you're dealing with that high voltage that they're having to deal with, if you send it through too fast, the person catches on fire. I mean, if you send it to them through fast, they explode. If you send it through too slow, they catch on fire. It's against the law to let them die from explosion or burning. They have to die from electrocution. So they put them out and then try again. You're looking now, do you really think when you had a loved one that was slaughtered by the people that are going to die there, you're down there, you're witnessing it, and you want to bring closure? You're looking at this, that gives you closure. So here's what was going on with Jesus. Crucifixion was invented by the Persians around 500 BC. Now, when I said that, I'm talking to you about the records that are there. Now, could there have been before then? Sure, anything could have happened before then. But from the records, around 500 B.C., it was perfected by the Romans in the days of Jesus. Crucifixion was reserved for the most horrendous criminals. Now, think of it this way. Even the worst Romans were beheaded rather than crucified. You do know that Roman citizens could not be crucified. It was against Roman law. But there was a lot of vile Romans. You saw that from the military itself. But they could never be crucified. That was only reserved for the most horrendous, or for them, the Jews. The ancient historian Josephus, the great historian, I've got his book and Philo's book it's just got, hours and upon hours, too much reading for me, but it deals with history. And one thing about Josephus, when you're reading any of the historical stuff of these writers, Philo or Josephus, you will find out something quite interesting. In all of their accounts, nothing that they say contradicts anything that's in the Bible. It was always sort of a backup. And what I'm saying is, no, the Bible's a backup for them. But anyway, but you got that. Yeah, yes. Oh, a little psychology major, aren't we? Okay. Under the leadership of Adolf Hitler, Nazi soldiers crucified Jews at Dachau. Today, crucifixion is prominent in the Sudan. Now, that's northeastern Africa. And no telling where else. Folks, man's inhumanity to man is not getting better. It just is not. If we in America could only open our eyes and see how blessed we are, even with the worst system, how blessed we would be, and look and compare to the rest of the world. So how can Christians celebrate the crucifixion of Jesus as good news? Here it is. You ready, Christians? Let's go. The good news is found in the answer to the question, what did Jesus accomplish on the cross? Number one, Jesus accomplished the believer's exclusion from the wrath of God. You and I, of all the ways to die, crucifixion, Old Smoky, or the gas chamber, or lethal, of all the ways to die, nothing could be more horrendous than the wrath of God. The wrath of God dying process is an individual is dying continually, but never able to die. It's continual dying through the pain and the agony. Now, Romans 1, 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. Okay, let me stop right there before verse 19. I tell you, out of all the sins, out of all the things that were the horrors of the wrath of God come in, many of you may think, well, this sin and that sin, you're wrong. Of all the ultimate wrath of God that settles on is an individual that teaches a lie as the truth. Those who mislead from the truth of God. It doesn't have anything to do with all the other type of sins that we talk about all the time. That's not what this is talking about. That from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who do what? Suppress the truth. Okay, then the suppression of the truth of God then is more creates more violence in the human race than the most vile of criminals that I've just talked about. Think about that. Could not Barabbas have called on Christ and accepted him? And he was one of the most violent. Now, I have no record that he did, but he could have. But because what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, His, God's, invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, because they are understood through what has been made. So people are without excuse. This goes back to the scripture. God says, when you stand before me, you will stand before me without excuse, because I will have revealed myself to you. So we know that God says, whether I've got a preacher, whether it's anybody that's going to lead somebody to Christ, He says, you'll not stand with excuse. Some way you will know me. I will have revealed myself to you. So don't blame it on Larry Vance. Don't blame it on a Sunday school teacher. Don't blame it on anybody else. I told you about me myself. Now, you're going to be hurting on a trial when God is the witness against you. When you say, you got some problems there. Romans 5 verse 9. Much more then, because we have now been declared righteous by His blood, not what we've done good, not our blood, by His blood, we will be saved through Him from God's wrath. The child of God, the Christian, you know, many people say, I can't imagine walking through that gate and seeing the wrath of God. No, you can't imagine it, because when you walk through that gate, you won't see the wrath of God. You see, the wrath of God is withheld from His children. The wrath of God is saved for the devil and his angels, those who seek to follow Satan. The wrath is for those who were told the truth by God Himself, and they turned their back on the truth, meaning God Himself. So that wrath will be seen in those individuals. One of the studies I remember going through in the earlier years was focusing on and it was a question brought up in many of the Baptist churches at this time, do Christians, will they be there to witness the great white throne judgment? Well, according to Scripture, we are there some way. But I can tell you, there's some type of a witness of it with us. But you and I are going to be in our excitement over who Christ is. But did you remember the question that you'd ask, how could I be in heaven looking down and seeing a loved one that I love so much that never accepted Christ? And I knew they never had accepted Christ. How would I be able to witness that? My understanding is this. Sin is so horrendous, so vile, that when sin covers an individual, it also covers who you think that individual was. The people that you think are going to go to hell for because of this and because of that, or look at their lifestyle, most people just lose a good opportunity of life to enjoy peace of mind and heart by a lifestyle. That lifestyle is not going to send them to hell, folks. We have to understand, I'm going to heaven by who I know. It is what Christ has done. Every time that I step out of the line, then what that does, that pulls me away from a blessing. I miss the blessing. So I understand then that because of who Christ is, nothing I can do can separate me from the love of Christ. He said that. His book's loaded with it. That if once I had said yes to Him, I'm His child, and He's not going to leave me behind. But He's also not going to make me. Did you ever try to make a kid do something? And then you turn your back? Did you ever stick your tongue out at your mother, but you made sure your back was turned? Yeah. I cannot believe you ever did that, girl. I just can't believe it. And, you know, and you have that, and you'll hear your mother chuckling because she knows exactly what you've done, because she did the same thing. Okay. That's family. And that's what we need to understand. We are the family of God. The wrath of God will never be seen or witnessed by a child of God, meaning upon herself. The other part about how do you look at it and all this, I don't know those things. And actually, the professors trying to tell me that, they didn't know either, but it did make them sound smart. And it was okay, but I understand something. And that something is this. Outside of the love of God, I don't know anything else. There is nothing, as far as I'm concerned, outside of the peace and the love of God. Through Christ, I'm saved. I cannot change that and will not change that just because somebody wants to have the head knowledge of God. Head knowledge of God, Satan has it. He's not faring too well. Satan can quote more scripture than any of us. Why, he knows more about what we shouldn't do. It was Satan that was using scripture against Jesus. Now, that was gutsy, wouldn't you say? That was gutsy, quoting scripture to Jesus. He didn't make out on that deal. Okay, number two. Jesus' cross moved us from symbolism, which was the animal sacrifice, blood sacrifice, to realism, which is Jesus. Now, here's the symbolism. The Old Testament, annual Hebrew celebration, the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. Kippur? I'd never be a good Hebrew. My tongue. Between the Hebrew and the Greek. I always thought that the professor was just going to get sick on me. He's just, everything had a gurgle. If it didn't gurgle when it came out, it wasn't Greek. Okay. Leviticus 16:9-10. You might wonder where this term comes from. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell. Okay. For us in this modern day, it's shooting dice. That was bones or something. What have they cast lots? They used to cast lots, if you remember, for Matthias, the one that took the place of Judas Iscariot. That was lots casting. So, you can tell right off the bat, these are not Baptist. So the lots were cast. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. Okay, here's the way it is. Every year they would come in. All the sins of Israel, the nation, all the sins were placed on the first goat. He was not the lucky goat. I'm not sure the other one's too lucky either. So all the sins were back, and then they slit that goat's throat, used the blood as the sacrifice. Now, the scapegoat is the one where he'd, I always picture him grabbing the horns of the goat confessing the sins and then sending the scapegoat out. Well, they had a man out there to take the scapegoat. This guy was already picked before to make sure the scapegoat got out of Dodge. Don't want him coming back in. That ain't looking good. So the scapegoat would be turned loose out in the wilderness, meaning the sins were taken away. You got it? So the scapegoat would take the sins of the nation away. Now, we look at that and say, well, that's sort of foolish. Let me tell you what it was. It was symbolism for the Christ to come. Folks, from the Old Testament through the New, salvation has always been in belief of the Messiah, Jesus, to come. It was always the blood sacrifice represented one day the ultimate sacrifice. The Lamb of God will give the ultimate sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. And on him will be our sins, our transgressions, our punishment. So all of this is leading up to what Jesus is going to do. So no matter how it went, everybody that's going to be in heaven are going to be the ones who said, Jesus is Lord, from Old Testament to New. You got it? Okay. Here's the symbolism. Story of the goats. Two healthy goats. High priest asked them, acting as the representative between sinful man and a holy God. Isn't that what Jesus did when the ultimate time came? Okay. lay his hands on one goat, confessing the sins of the people. Slaughtered of that goat, substitute the blood sacrifice. You got it? Okay. Then he had the release of the scapegoat into the wilderness. I told you all that, didn't I? Wilderness, which was the outward sign of it. When we are baptized, that's our outward expression of our inward condition. We have accepted Christ, and we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay. The sins were sent back to the author of sin himself, who was banished from the realm of grace. So it was an idea is the sins can never be brought back up against you. That's why the guy was out there throughout all of this period to make sure the goat didn't come back to town. Now, I don't know of anything from any of the historical writers that a goat ever made it back, but God have mercy on them. God have mercy on that man that supposed to took care of that goat and got him out of town. Okay, for the Day of Atonement celebration, it took two animals for the symbolism. Remember, all the Old Testament was pure symbolism. At the cross, it only took one Jesus for the realism. Got it? Realism, 1 John 4:10. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. Christ becoming our substitute, assuming our obligations by taking our guilt, covering it by the vicarious punishment which he endured, reconciling us to God. It has never changed, folks. It is always, there's no controversy between the new and the old. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the old. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. The scriptures, what's he talking about? The Old Testament. People say, well, he's reading from the New Testament. He is the New Testament here, people. So the scriptures would have been the what we call the Old Testament. Galatians 6:14. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. The world does not want the Christian. The world does not want the Christian. And God says, okay, that's my child. I'll bring him home.